what's the best Halloween costume you ever wore in your life?
Oh, man. You know, I think probably my Batman costume. I had a Batman costume, but then I also had a cowboy costume on a couple years ago when we did it, you know. I played a cowboy, and good thing is people said, man, what are you, a cowboy? I said, yeah, I'm a yippee-yay cowboy, but I am also a real cowboy. You know what I mean? So probably I would give it my cowboy uniform since it worked both ways.
How many times have you said yippee-ki-yay in your life?
not many, man. But if I count the one I just gave you, probably four or five times total.
That's three more than I'd
have figured. Wow, I feel honored to have received one of those yippee-ki-yays. I'm curious, back to football, as much as I'm interested in further Halloween costume discussion, there's two undefeated teams in the NFL right now. Let's say the Niners played the Patriots this weekend. Who would you be picking to win?
Whew. It'd be hard to pick against the Patriots because Tom Brady's there. But when you look at this man right now and you see 1-2, and let me tell you something. I'm just flat. It'd be hard to pick against the Patriots with Tom Brady there. But you have the formula to beat the Patriots, and you have the tools to beat the Patriots. In order to beat the Patriots, you have to get to Tom Brady. You have to throw off his clock. You have to make sure Tom is getting rid of the ball way before he wants to get rid of it, and for lack of a better way of saying it, making sure Tom sees ghosts. And you can do that with that defensive line. Go back and look at that Buffalo film. Tom was throwing balls in the ground because they were getting to Tom. They were getting to him. You're like, man, look at this. Look at what happens when you get to Tom Brady. And San Francisco can do that. Now, you're going to have to produce all day, every day, because he's not going to stop. And you can do that with the run game you have. You're going to have to be physical, take the air out of the ball. That means take downs and series and drives away from Tom Brady, and by running the ball and taking your time and get to Tom Brady. And you have the tools to do that. Now, having the tools and putting them out your toolbox and operating are two different things.
Michael Irvin, why is Trent Williams ending his holdout?
I hope to go get some of that money. It's $13 million a year that he makes this year. And he just lost, what happened, six and a half? He just lost 6.5, so he says, let me come back and get this last 6.5, even though I do not want to be here. Now, that's another guy. You may hear about a bad back coming up here pretty soon. I'm just saying. I'm not suggesting anybody's doing anything, but I'm just saying you may hear a bad back situation coming out of that situation where he comes and he still collects his money, but, man, I don't know if you see him on the football field.
As we get ready for yet another Thursday night game here, we have to all admit we haven't done a lot of studying on the Arizona Cardinals. What kind of year is Kyler Murray having? What kind of season do you think Cliff Kingsbury's having as he adjusts to life in the NFL?
I was saying this to people the other day about rookie quarterbacks, and everybody, you know, we're in this instant world. That's why I guess Instagram and all of that stuff is so big, because we're in a world that's about instant gratification and satisfaction right now. And the reality is, any young quarterback, especially a first-year quarterback, his road to greatness at the quarterback position is never paid smoothly. It's going to be paid with peaks and valleys. He has to manage the peaks, and he has to endure and come out on the other end of the valley. And Kyler Murray is no different. Now, Kyler Murray has done some pretty incredible things in his young career. You know, throwing the ball all around, made some incredible plays, some exciting plays. But he's had some peaks and valleys. And you just got to make sure while you're playing him that he's having more valleys than peaks. But I've enjoyed this first year with him and with Cliff Kingsbury in this new. It's so funny, you know, whatever they call this new offense. It's all the stuff. It's all redone. This is the silver stretch or the running shoot. That's all it is. They put a new name on it in a different generation, and they call it. It's the same thing. It's four wide receivers and one running back, and we're throwing the ball all over the field. That was a running shoe. That was a silver stretch that Detroit did back in the year. It's the same thing. We're just putting new names on it. But Kyler Murray is running it pretty well in his early, for as young as he is, I think he's running it pretty well.
The 49ers and Cardinals not only play Thursday, but they play in 2 weeks. How much, when you're preparing for a team that you're going to see twice in that short amount of time, how much is held back for the second time, and how much is basically we're going to throw everything at them, and then the second time we play them, they won't know what they're getting? What do most coaches do, and what do most players hope most coaches will do?
Well, here's the thing. When you're playing someone that's such a different offense than you're facing in the NFL, there's no such thing as holding back. You just got to make sure you get the win. The great thing about what you just said is you can have turnover because it's so close. They're so close. These games will be so close. You play them Thursday, then you get them again in a couple weeks. So you can still have some carryover from what you learn about this new system, about this different system, as you get ready to play them the second time around. That's the best thing for San Francisco facing Arizona twice in the next couple of weeks.
Michael, it's always so good to talk to you, man. It's a pleasure. You're so honest and forthright about your career, your experiences. One final question for you today. You were talking about players being traded, and that's just a reality of the league. And sometimes the rumors get back to you and you get upset about it. Sometimes they don't. In your career, did the Dallas Cowboys ever try to trade you?
I was in a contract negotiation with Jerry Jones, and I was sitting in on all the negotiations. And Jerry and I, we were in an impasse. I think Jerry Rice was the highest paid, and I wanted to be the highest paid at the time. And we were at an impasse, and Jerry, and the rumors that came out, and I said, I don't mind being traded. I understand if it doesn't work, and it must be trading me to Cincinnati. For Cincinnati, Carl Pickens at the time was in Cincinnati, to do a swap. And I said to Jerry, you know what? Everywhere I set my foot in the sand, I left a footprint of greatness. I walked away with championships. I don't mind seeing if I can make that happen in Cincinnati. I'm just negotiating. I didn't want to go to Cincinnati. I'm negotiating like he's negotiating. Then he finally broke down and said to me, Michael, let me tell you, this is how I see it. When I look at Magic Johnson and the Lakers, I say, what is Magic without the Lakers? And then I say, what is the Lakers without Magic Johnson? And he said, when I see you, I see the same thing. What is Michael Irvin without the Dallas Cowboys? And what is Dallas Cowboys without Michael Irvin? Basically, Michael, what I'm saying to you, if a bomb hits Valley Ranch today, that's where we practiced at, and blew everything up, when the smoke clears, you and me, baby, we're going to still be right here. We might as well hammer out this deal right now. I said, that dude is crazy. Dude, let me tell you, that's a true story. I said, why are we going through all of this?
It's a fantastic.
Why are you bringing all that up?
It's a fantastic story. It's an incredible Jerry Jones impression you just gave us. That was amazing.
That's how he is. He's a funny dude. But I love him. I do love him.
Thank you, Michael. Always a pleasure, man.
Always great talking to you guys.
Michael Irvin, NFL Network.
That's when he knew that he had Jerry rather than the other way around.
Yeah, I mean,
when the bomb hits.
Because Jerry buys into the mythology, whereas if Michael Irvin was in Cincinnati, that the conversation, A, wouldn't happen, and B, it would take about 20 seconds.
That's the weird thing about
Mike Brown would say, well, yeah, I can see you as a Jacksonville Jaguar, too. Let's make that happen.
You know what, though? Part of this is I think guys actually respect Jerry as a football guy. And I'm not sure there's another owner in the league like that. But since Al.
Probably not. I mean, I'd have to think about it for a second. I think Bob Kraft develops relationships. Okay. I mean, I do believe if the thing with Brady and Giselle breaks up that Kraft will just step in and want to marry him.
What I
but for the most part, the more expensive a team is, the more businessmen you get running them.
Right.
And, man, that's not good.
No.
I think Dallas Cowboys know quickly, if I become a favorite son of this guy, my life's on easy street.
Because what I thought of, I don't know about you guys, but as soon as he told that story, what I thought of is Zeke Elliott. Is I bet the negotiations were similar. Is ultimately, Zeke Elliott was like, you want me, and I know you're going to pay me, man.
And Jerry's eventually like, when the bomb hits Zeke,
exactly.
It's going to be you and me.
Exactly. You know you have him.